say that you are to me on your telly.
Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines on 90.7 KPFK in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. And on the line we have Stephanie Fauché from Death Pony Focus. Coming up on the 19th, there's a scheduled execution. Stephanie, why don't you just start right there about what we can do to stop it?
Well, Donald Beardsley is scheduled to be executed, as you mentioned, on January 19th at 12:01 a.m. We are leading a massive charge for people to call or fax Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and ask him to grant clemency to Donald Beardsley, who is a severely brain-damaged man. He was sentenced to death in 1984, and we are demanding that this new information about his brain damage, which was not revealed to the jurors at the time of his original trial because science has advanced so much that this new information was not available at that time, be considered, and that Governor Schwarzenegger grant clemency to Donald Beardsley. We are hoping that people will call 916-445-2841 and tell Governor Schwarzenegger that Donald Beardsley should not be executed. We are also leading a number of activities all over the state on January 18th. In protest of the execution, there will be events in Los Angeles and Orange County.
So we're going to come back, so people should get out their pens and papers. Make sure you pull over because it's raining, you guys, but I want you to have some accidents. But the scheduled actual event on the 18th is a rally at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Federal Building, which is 11,000 Wilshire Boulevard. So, Stephanie, in terms of the case, one of your demands that you have is basically saying that there shouldn't be any executions right now because of a commission that is in play and trying to do some research. So tell us a little bit about the commission.
Well, yes, this commission called the California Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice was formed by former Senate President John Burton as a last act before he was termed out of the Senate. It was created by Senate Resolution 44 and establishes this commission to investigate how wrongful convictions have occurred in California and what can be done to prevent them, as well as reviewing the administration of capital punishment in California to determine if it is, in fact, fair and just. The commission is made up of 14 members, the Attorney General, former sheriffs, former public defenders, judges, and law enforcement officials are all part of this commission, and they will be investigating the reasons we think the death penalty system is flawed, and they will be submitting their findings to the legislature and the governor by December 31st, 2007. And we certainly believe that they should be allowed to study the system without any executions going forward. They will be looking at the arbitrariness of how capital punishment is applied in California, and I think this is really important when it comes to the Donald Beardsley case, because all of Donald Beardsley's co-defendants in this case received lesser sentences than he did. He was the only one to receive the death penalty, and this is a very common thing, which is virtually unexplainable, that getting sentenced to death is sort of like being struck by lightning. It's a very random process and is really influenced by factors that should not be important when determining who lives and who dies, such as race, geography, class, how much money you have, how much you can pay to an attorney. So we are certainly advocating for a moratorium or timeout on executions while the commission is able to investigate these issues.
And Stephanie, is this because of the Illinois Governor Ryan, who found a lot of people who were falsely accused, et cetera, et cetera? Is this a development?
I certainly think so. One thing that we think has led to the formation of this commission is that attorney Robert Sanger from Santa Barbara conducted an investigation about the problems that had occurred in Illinois that led the governor there, then Republican Governor George Ryan, to declare a moratorium or timeout on executions. They came up with 85 problems in Illinois that were huge contributors to wrongful convictions. Robert Sanger then compared California state law and found that we have 80 of the same exact problems here. This report was published in the Santa Clara Law Review and has been drawing a lot of attention because it severely indicts the California criminal justice system for having very severe flaws. And I think this is one of many reasons that has led this to the formation of this commission.
So in terms of the, you were saying how their difference is based on geography, and I know particular counties have different rules and whatnot. But one of the things that we think is that a lot of it, I mean, you've already said this, is based on race and nationality. If we look at going down in terms of California three strikes, et cetera, it is over representation of black people. The way we talk about it is talking about the re-enslavement of black people. And so wanted to get your sense in terms of people who are on death row right now. Do you know the percentages of who are black and Latino, et cetera?
Yes. Well, blacks and Latinos are definitely overrepresented on death row in California. Together, along with Asians and Native Americans, they make up over 50% of the death row population. We also find that those who murder victims that are white are more likely to receive a death sentence than those who murder blacks or Latinos or Asians. And that shows that in this society, white life is still valued more than black or Latino life, because people who murder black or Latinos are less likely to be as severely punished.
In terms of Heist, this is Eric Mann. How are you?
Good, thank you.
In terms of the Beardsley case, and I know you're in a difficult position, I want to figure out how to ask this, is that obviously if there's prosecutorial misconduct, then the basis for an appeal is at least there's some strong judicial protections, although even those are being dropped. But is the possibility that there was also lack of a thoroughgoing defense in his part? Because even if you say that medical science did not understand the extent that his actions were controlled by severe brain damage, wasn't that the responsibility of his defense attorneys, and is it possible that one grounds for overturning it was an inadequate defense?
That is one possibility. Certainly his attorneys did admit into the record that he was involved in two various serious accidents. One was a head-on car collision, and the other was an incident where a tree actually fell on his head and nearly killed him. That information was given to the jury. However, what that information meant was not actually testimony about that was not actually given to the jury. They did not hear anyone say, well, this type of brain damage that can be caused by these events and serious brain defects that he had since birth, how that can actually affect his functioning and decision-making. So I do think that the defense at the time was not entirely equipped to present all of the arguments that needed to be heard. I think that one of the things that the jury asked was what types of sentences did Mr. Beardsley's co-defendants receive. The judge was not allowed to tell the jury that information. However, I think that shows that they were worried that Mr. Beardsley was, in fact, being punished more severely than the rest of his co-defendants, who actually orchestrated the entire attack, and Mr. Beardsley sort of stumbled into this attack very accidentally and participated because he did not have the decision-making skills to know that this was not a good idea. And one of the main arguments that the prosecutors used when seeking the death penalty for him was that he was going to be very violent in prison and he was going to be a danger to other inmates and to prison guards. And in fact, Mr. Beardsley has been a model prisoner for the last 20 years. He has a perfect record. He has nothing but good things said about him by the Department of Corrections staff in reports. And in fact, people with his type of brain damage do very well in this type of structured environment, and that has been reflected by his criminal record. One of the challenges that they're seeking to look at now is that in his case, they used three aggravating factors that have been declared invalid, meaning that in capital cases, you look at mitigating factors and aggravating factors. Three out of four of the aggravating factors, which were used to get the death penalty for Mr. Beardsley, have been declared invalid, and that issue is being appealed to the Supreme Court because, in fact, many of the issues that they used showed or tried to show that Mr. Beardsley was this calculating killer when really that wasn't the case, and, in fact, his behavior was being controlled by his severe brain damage.
Well, in terms of the, you know, argument that there were, you know, 83 criteria in Illinois and 80 were found in California. I think our view is continues to be that the majority of people in California are bloodthirsty killers who support the death penalty. They don't want to carry out the murders themselves, but they have a perverse enthusiasm for it. And the racial disproportionality or unfairness is not a misunderstanding. It's a racial hatred that's rooted in this country's culture. So, you know, we try to work the legal system as best we can, but the legal system a lot reflects the political system in this country and the deterioration of the society. So in looking at this, I have two questions for you. That's not just a rant. One is, how strong is this commission? How strong is this commission pushing? And what exists? Is this going to go in front of the Ninth Circuit? Where is the case being brought?
Well, I'll answer the first question first. The commission is going to be looking at a number of issues. I think it is a very strong commission. It has a number of very respectable defense attorneys, experts on the death penalty on the commission, including the director of the Northern California Innocence Project and an attorney for Donald Ridley, Michael Lawrence, who's also the director of the Habeas Corpus Resource Center. I think that we will see a number of interesting findings come out of the commission. One thing we think they will find is that race does affect the administration of the death penalty in California. I think for most of us abolitionists, that's very obvious, but for the general public, I don't know if everyone knows that. Certainly what we have found through our studies and polls and public opinion surveys is that people know very little about the death penalty and how it's applied. And in fact, there are many misconceptions about how it works and who really receives the death penalty. And people are shocked to know that innocent people are sentenced to death, and they're shocked to know that you're more likely to get the death penalty if you're poor. And they're shocked to know that if you live in Los Angeles County, you're more likely to get the death penalty than if you live in San Francisco County. And so I do think that there's a lot of misinformation out there. I think that when people start to discover all of these problems, they begin to question whether they really can support the death penalty in practice, even if they still might support it in theory.
In terms of the group, we have the list in front of us, and there's some very, very good liberal and progressive people there, and I saw that Habeas Corpus Resource Center and so forth. I think the way this game is usually played is that you need some fairly significant hardliners on the other side who, in theory, you're supposed to win over, because if a Schwarzenegger or other is expected to implement their decision, it has to be a Sheriff Lee Baca or, you know. So I'm interested in your assessment of John Moulds, of Lee Baca's role, of Bill Lockyer, who at one point I thought was a liberal until later, but that's why I've always had trouble with liberals. So it seems to me that Lockyer, Moulds, Baca, and who else would you say on the pro-death penalty side of this do you think could be won over to, for instance, ask for the moratorium?
Well, I think any of these men and women could be won over given the information that we think they're going to discover. I think that the Senate Rules Committee really tried to choose people who were moderate, who were open-minded, and who were intelligent and willing to consider the facts before them. So I have great hope that, in fact, this group will be one that looks at the information in front of them and seriously evaluates how the death penalty is applied in the state. Is it being done fairly? And if it's not being done fairly, could it ever be done fairly? We certainly don't think so. We think many of these people, as in Illinois, will also come to that conclusion at the end of the 3 years. In Illinois, everyone said that the commission was lopsided. It was full of Republicans. It was full of conservatives. They were going to get skewed results at the end of the commission. At the end of the commission, they said it was full of liberals. It was full of people who wanted to end the death penalty, secret abolitionists. And you always have people coming up with criticisms. However, I think that the Senate Rules Committee in this case has done a very good job trying to select fair-minded individuals who will consider the facts. I think there are several people on there who will be forced to address this issue publicly at the end of the 3 years and may, in fact, have a change of position after evaluating all of the information.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Stephanie Fauchet from Death Penalty Focus about the upcoming execution of Donald Beardsley. And so just to get the number out again, Death Penalty Focus, you should check out their website. They actually have a place where you can actually email the governor, write letters, etc. It's www.deathpenalty.org. And you can call Governor Schwarzenegger at 916-445-2841. And I guess the last question, because we have about a minute left, wanted to get your sense on where two things. One, where Schwarzenegger is in terms of the death penalty and criminal justice, because we know where Gray Davis was. And secondly, are there any Democrats that are actually trying to lead the fight to actually abolish or get a moratorium on the death penalty?
Well, we hope Governor Schwarzenegger is going to be reasonable and look at the facts before him. We think that he is a person who's willing to step away from his party line to do what's right. In fact, the last governor in California to grant clemency to an inmate was Ronald Reagan, also a Republican actor, to a severely brain-damaged man, Calvin Thomas, in 1967. So we can only hope that Governor Schwarzenegger will break out of the Republican mold and do the right thing and really examine the evidence. In terms of Democrats leading the fight, Senator John Burton has been a leader in the fight. Senator Don Perata is committed to supporting a moratorium on executions. There are a number of Democratic leaders in the state who are committed to supporting a moratorium or timeout on executions. Assemblyman Mark Leno, Assemblyman Joe Nation, Carol Migden. I believe there's Sally Lieber. There are leaders who have come to us, and they said they want to help. They believe that the death penalty system in California is severely flawed, that innocent people are being convicted, that the death penalty is being applied in an arbitrary and unjust way, and they really want to do something about it. So we are pleased by the outpouring of support that we've gotten from them, and I think that we will see Governor Schwarzenegger begin to look at this issue in a new way.
Right, so this was Stephanie Fauchet from Death Penalty Focus. Go to the website to get more information on the case, www.deathpenalty.org. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we're actually going to have Stephanie on next week for a five-minute update on where the case is actually going to be. So, right before we give the thanks to all our producers and our engineers, wanted to take a little time to get some help from the listeners out there. We are in our search for a theme song for Voices from the Frontlines. You know how when, you know, Amy Goodman comes on and you rock out to the guitar or whatnot. So that's what we're trying to actually do. And so what we want to do is, after our year anniversary of the show, we actually started with Robin Kelly, December 8th, 2003. We wanted to get a sense of your musical taste. So, we were looking for a song that typifies struggle, that typifies self-determination, women's liberation, .. You get it. So we want folks to search through their CDs, online, vinyl, and come up with some suggestions for us, and we want you to email them to us. A lot of you probably know is that both Eric, myself, Tam Bang Lu, and Manuel Criollo are work at the Labor Community Strategy Center. And so that's where you're going to have us have you email. So it's going to be, the email address is info@thestrategycenter.org, thestrategycenter.org. So movement songs, feel hollers, you name it, give it to us. And we'll be, we want to actually thank Maggie LaPique for doing the engineering, Alan Minsky for the production. Join us next week where we have a Martin Luther King Jr. show, Strategy Center style, Voices from the Frontline style. So again, theme song information, help, info@thestrategycenter.org, and also let us know who you are, what you're fighting for, how long you've been in the struggle, and we'll see you next week on Voices from the Frontline.
Stay away for Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.